As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
It's the Breakfast Club, the world's most dangerous morning show.
Hey!
Angela Yee is kind of like the big sister that always pokes you in the forehead.
That's not how it goes?
That's not how anything goes.
Yemi's really like a robot. One of the best DJs ever.
Believe that!
Charlamagne is the wild card.
And I'm about to give somebody the credit they deserve for being stupid.
I know, that's right.
What is wrong with you?
Listen to the Breakfast Club weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 106.7 The Beat. Columbus's real hip-hop and R&B.
Ron Ananian. And if you own a Honda product, you're going to want to listen to this story because you probably have this problem and you may or may not have been able to get it fixed up till now. The car doctor's got the fix.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news.
The car doctor.
5 minutes after I stopped the car, it got hot right at the point where the side panels are bolted to the whole rest of the car. And so I'm really confused of what's causing this to get hot 5 minutes after I stop it.
Yeah, I am too, to be honest with you. Welcome to the radio home of Ron Ananian, the car doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
Did I tell you I've been practicing Qi Kung lately? Well, it's more of a story than that, see? This is one of those life imitates art kind of a stories. And, you know, if you're a longtime regular listener to the show, you know I just mentioned the shop in passing. I don't like to talk about the shop too much. And all of a sudden, everybody wants to come visit me, and I've got enough to do, but that's beside the point. That isn't what this story is about. I've been seeing an acupuncturist. I've got a little, I don't know if it's carpal tunnel or just I'm old or what it is, but you know my right hand gets pins and needles and it's suffered a little nerve damage over the years and you know a lot of wrenching, a lot of turning, a lot of push and pulling, and you know I'm getting it fixed. I'm getting it taken care of, and you know we're trying acupuncture and acupuncture is working. It really is. It's amazing stuff what it does. Of course, it's not the most comfortable thing in the world. You lie on this table and they jab needles in you. It's kind of like spending a weekend with relatives, but that's beside the point. That's a whole nother conversation. And you know, while I'm there, because he's a Western medicine doctor, he's teaching me methods of relaxation and the ways to deflect and defend yourself and take care of your spirit and all those things that we all think about in the wee hours of the morning, like how do we get through this thing we call life as human beings. And one of the things he's teaching me is Qi Kung, and it's an art form of, and I think of it that way, of it's how you stand, it's how you breathe, it's how you internalize, it's how you keep your body safe, and how you deflect. I used it this week. Elsa came in, 2008 Toyota Camry. And it was ever since. This is an ever since story, that, you know, ever since. And Elsa's got a lot of ever since going on. It's ever since we touch anything, everything else on their car just seems to make noise, fall apart, have an issue. You know, just it's an ever since car. She's a lot of ever since. And, you know, listen, I get it. I'm patient with her. She's a widow now. She just lost her husband. They've been coming to me for a while. And it's not that it's painful, but it gets to be annoying after a while. And I tell you this because I don't want you to be annoying. I don't want you to annoy your mechanic. If you find you have to annoy your mechanic and it's outside of your personality, then you need to find another mechanic if that's how you communicate. And if you are annoying and that is your personality, your mechanic's probably listening to this saying, God, I hope that person finds another mechanic. That's the way it works. So Ever since you changed the oil on the car, now when I turn the air conditioning on, there's a clunking under the hood. All right, well, let's see. drain plug out, oil comes out, drain plug in, oil goes in through the top. We check fluid levels. We do our usual due diligence, vigilance, visualize, look at everything, check all the fluid levels, and ship it. And that's what we always do when we do an oil change, and that's what we did. And, you know, a week and a half later, it was this clunking noise, the ever since. And all right, so, you know, stop by. Let's take a look. Well, the first thing I noticed when I lifted the hood for the ever since clunk was that the coolant bottle was now empty where it was once full. And you could smell it. There was a sweet smell about the car. You know, you just, you knew it had a coolant leak of some kind. And I, you know, went inside, got a long, heavy pry bar screwdriver type of device, and I gently pushed on the water pump pulley. And sure enough, the water pump pulley has some wobble to it. Else, you know, you need a water pump. The water pump's failed on this 15-year-old car. And then I got a lecture about how it's not a 15-year-old car. It's a 14-year-old car. Don't make it older than it is. Whatever. It's 15 years old, all right? And while she's telling me this and lecturing me, she's picking the leaves out at the base of the windshield that have collected there over the years and yelling at me. And, you know, listen, you know what? I want to go to her house, which I'm sure is clean, and I want to just start picking leaves out and throwing them on her front lawn or her driveway because the parking lot of the shop's clean. The place's landscape looks like a doctor's office. No pun intended. And we had a conversation about that, and that was my fault because I didn't, you know, we should automatically clean the cowl whenever we do an oil change because that should become part of it. Okay. That's actually part of an air cabin filter service. That's a different conversation as to why, but all right, I'll listen to that. So we went in the office, we sat down, we tried to schedule the water pump, and what do you think this is going to cost? You know, asking me what something is going to cost without actually getting into the job, it's a waste of time. It really is. It's an estimate. It's a guess. It's an educated guess. I had to bring in a Honda this week for an AC compressor, and the original estimate between AC compressor and some tires and a few other things was $2,500. And in the 2 weeks it took the customer to get the car to come in, we had to order parts. The car came in on Tuesday, we put it up in the air, and the left front strut was blown where it wasn't blown before because she had hit a pothole. So now we needed to add struts and alignment and sway bar links, and all of a sudden the $2,500 estimate is a $3,500 estimate or $3,300 estimate, whatever it was. So estimates, to me, you know, it's a ballpark, but it's not necessarily where you're going to be. I don't know else. You know, it's going to need a water pump. You're going to do a belt. You're going to do a coolant service. I've got a note in the file that the bottom trans cooler tubes are rusted and rotted out. I said you're going to put a radiator in it. You know, I'll take a guess. $1,500 to $2,000 seems like a good neighborhood. Oh, my God, that's so expensive. Here comes the Chi Kung. Are you sure you know what you're doing? Do you really think you're qualified to fix this car? Should I take it to the dealer? God, I saw Chi Kung in my head, man. I just turned my body to the right and without even thinking. Yeah, I think you should. I mean, just take it. Just take it somewhere else. But no, I guess I didn't deflect hard enough because lucky me, she still kept with the appointment. And I made an appointment for Tuesday this week coming, and I figured by then she would have calmed down. She would have gotten her orneriness would have gone away. And, but no, it didn't. Friday morning, and I kept thinking about this car all week, like having to deal with her is just exhausting. And Friday morning, a potential new customer called up. He'd read some, believe it or not, we actually have some good reviews, people that actually like us. And he wanted to get his air conditioning fixed. And, you know, we're about 2 weeks out on average. And I said, you know, he's going away on vacation. I said, listen, I would rather tell you I can't than I can and make you wait and ruin your vacation. You've got to take it somewhere else. And he's disappointed. I'm disappointed. I don't like turning people away, but he does. I do. He does. He gets it. Move on. About 12:30, Else calls up and she's all, and I'm thinking Chi Kung. That's all I'm thinking about is how to deflect this and, you know, stay safe. But, you know, I've really got to take this to the dealer. The leak is getting worse, which I would expect it to. And the noise is getting worse, which I would expect it to. And I'm going to take it to the dealer. Do you think I should take it to the dealer? Else, I think you should do whatever you need to do. I said, I can look at it Tuesday. That's your appointment. It's 2 days away. Can you wait the 2 days? No, I can't wait the 2 days. Okay. Now, the annoying part there is, you know, who's giving me back the 30 to 45 minutes I spent looking, talking, poking, prodding, you know, settling her down, getting her back on track, where I should have just been cold and calculating, right? Like people expect mechanics to be, in a sense, where it's, you know, very business as usual, but you don't, because you're the general store, right? You're that friendly guy at the counter with a cup of coffee and the donut and just trying to make people happy. Else is gone. Else won't be back, by the way. I've decided that's a business decision. I can't go through the drama and the headache every time. It's too costly in time, and Chi Kung only works to a certain degree. And then I started feeling bad about the guy with the AC. And lo and behold, 2 hours later, the phone rings, and it's the AC gentleman. He called around. He couldn't find anybody, as he put it, intelligent enough that he thought could actually fix his car. So he said, I decided to wait the 2 weeks for you, and, you know, if I have to modify my vacation start date, I'll modify it. I just want to bring you the car. And I said, you know, your ears must have been ringing because I was thinking about you. And I told him the story, and he said, wow. And I said, yeah, you're in Tuesday. So sometimes I guess auto repair is about, you know, a little Western medicine, a little Chinese culture, a little Qi Kung, and a little bit of faith that things are going to work out okay, because they did for me. And it was just one of those weeks at the shop where acupuncture and Qi Kung is the lead story today on The Car Doctor. 855-560-9900, Ron and Anian at your service. I'll be back. Don't go away.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English, and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's Zuko and Kayla from The Wake Up Call. Enjoy your podcast, but when you're done, don't forget about us. We have a radio show. We try to bring a smile to your face every morning.
We also talk to some of the hottest country stars of today, and we like to share some good news with That's What I Like.
Because Lord knows that's hard to find. When you're done podcasting your podcast, listen to us at 92.3 WCOL.
Set your preset on your radio right now, and don't forget you can listen to us online on the iHeartRadio app.
You'll have fun till your daddy takes a T-Bird away. Fun till your daddy takes a T-Bird away.
What's more fun than listening to Ron and Annie and The Car Doctor and getting that car fixed right? 855-560-9900. Give Ron a call. Now, back to Ron.
Hey, let's go over to Idaho and talk to Mark, 22 Subaru Forester. Mark, welcome to The Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Ron.
Yes, sir.
Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I have a 22 Forester. It's brand new. It's got like 100 miles on it. And I found I had a squirrel living under the hood for about 3 days, and chewed up some foam around the radiator and the like. And so I took it to the dealership to get it checked out because I was worried about what I couldn't see. And they dropped the splash can and found some damage to the wiring. And I went back and I looked for myself, and I saw where they'd been munching on the coating, and the wires were exposed.
Yep.
Although I didn't see any copper. And they asked me, you know, what I wanted to do. And since it's a new car, I said, I want you to make it like it's new.
Right.
And I didn't realize that the wire harness, I thought there would be like, you know, parts of it that were replaceable or something, but it's not. It's all one piece. It goes into the bulkhead. And they want roughly $6,000 to fix it, including 25 hours labor. So I'm weighing it out. I'm just thinking, there's 25 hours labor, and they got to get into the dash and everything. There's a lot that could go wrong in the future if they don't do it right. And I just wanted to get your take on it, if I should consider a repair or just let them replace the harness. And I'm also worried about the warranty and resale value.
All good concerns, Mark, and I'm sorry for your grief. You know, being able to afford a new car, and listen, being able to find a new car in this day and age, and, you know, it takes the joy right out of it, right? It kind of pops the balloon that you're sailing on. So, you have my sympathies, brother, for your pain.
Thank you.
I think if it were me, and I wasn't going to do this, you know, in another universe, if I didn't work on cars, I would let them replace the harness. And I would, you know, I would have a pleasant chat with the service writer and the service manager and say, listen, guys, I just paid $40,000 for this car, whatever the number was. I'm hoping that, you know, regardless of shop policy, this is a little bit of an extreme case. We're not going to put the apprentice mechanic on it. We're going to put the B or the A tech on it. You know, who's your best guy? And, you know, that's, I'm really looking for this to be done right. Now, you know, part of, I can talk to you from New Jersey. I can't talk to you what it's like in Idaho. I don't know Idaho state law. In New Jersey, I believe there's a reasonable chance that animal damage like that, depending upon how your insurance policy is written, is covered under your insurance. In New Jersey, sometimes it's covered under comprehensive, which is vandalism and malicious mischief and things beyond your control. It's basically you're not in the car and you had a problem. You know, somebody hit it, a garbage can rolled into it, a shopping cart hit the car, that type of a thing. You know, and I would inquire to your insurance company just to see.
Yeah, I do have comprehensive insurance on it, and I think they're going to pay. They're balking a little bit at the price. They're going to send an inspector out to look at it.
Right.
I'll have to see how that goes.
Listen, you know, this is sort of like, it's exactly like, you know, you want to make your primary concern is let's talk like we're sitting on a bar stool having a soda. All right.
Okay.
You know, your primary concern is you want to make the technician that's working on the car happy. All right. It doesn't pay to stand on, well, you're the Subaru dealer. I expect you to do it right. You know, yeah, that's a fair comment. In a fair and perfect world, that's what could happen. If I were faced with this, listen, when my wife's car, when I was going through the torture with Ford over my wife's Explorer, and it took them 18 months to figure it out, I still went in there smiling every time. I still brought in my donuts. I still brought in my bagels. I still smiled and made everybody in the service department feel good because these are the people that are holding my lifeblood in their hands. You know, I've been in their spot. You know, depending upon how that dealer tech is getting paid, and I'm sure he's, you know, unless he's getting paid by the hour and it's a true 25 hours, if it's piecework, if the factory says it's 25 hours to do a harness, but it really takes 40, he's cutting corners. I don't care how you add it up. He's just going to cut corners. He's got to make a living and feed his family. So,
that's,
you know,
what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, and that's, you know what? I think, I hate to tell it to you like this, but I think, you know, a couple of Mr. Lincolns and maybe a few Roosevelts or bagels, or, you know, I want to send the guy a couple of pizzas, whatever. Make the guy feel like a human being. It's amazing how far that goes. To me, it's like tipping the waitress. You know, you're tipping for good service. And obviously this kid's going to be all over the place. And I've seen great dealer techs. I really have. I've seen dashboards come apart. God, I can't tell where they picked the plastic trim out of the bezel, and you'd never know it because he's the A guy. He's done it 50 times or 100 times or more. You don't want to put the starter newbie mechanic on this because the car's going to have rattles, creaks, moans, groans, and weird things happen. So
right.
I think it's a candid conversation with the service manager. How receptive is he? Hey, you know, we all hear bad things about dealerships. I'm not saying it's your dealership, but you know what? I'm looking to establish a relationship with you guys. This is like dating. You know, my side of the date's not going so well. I just need somebody to help make it right. And, you know, the slipperoo. I think that helps. I would go for the repair because a lot of times with animals, it's not what they see. It's what they don't see or can't see until they take it out. And at that point, you got to put it behind you. As far as warranty, if they're doing the replace the harness routine, in my mind, the warranty has to apply just like, you know, as if the car was new. You're asking them to make it like new. You know, one of the things I don't like about this is somewhere in the future, this is likely to appear on a Carfax report. And
right.
One of the things I don't like about that is Carfax, it'll say, oh, you know, we had the wiring harness repaired. And it potentially could, I don't want to scare you, Mark, but I've seen it where something like this could bring down the value of the car, which I don't understand.
Right. That's what I'm afraid of.
But, you know, you're sort of between the rock and the hard place because the damage has been done. It's not like we're talking about the trip to Mars and will you survive. You've already taken the trip. Now you got to survive it.
Right.
You know, you've already had the wiring harness has already been chewed up. Now you've got to survive it. So, you know, you get the harness repaired. If you're keeping the car 3 years, it's going to hurt you on resale. If you keep the car like a typical Subaru owner and you drive it for the next 8 to 10 years, I don't think it's going to matter a hill of beans. You know, a 10-year-old Subaru is worth what a 10-year-old Subaru is worth. Nobody cares what happened the previous 150,000 miles because it doesn't matter. You know, your argument's going to be, gee whiz, you know, it was done at 100 miles. The car's got 148,000 on it now, and it ran great. It never had an electrical issue. Proof's in the pudding, right? Listen, don't sweat it. There's bigger things in the world today that we can sweat. Go in, talk to the guy, explain your concerns. Treat him nice. Hopefully he treats you nice. Read the room, and you should have a good positive repair. Let me know if there's anything else I can do for you. I appreciate the call. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. I'll be back right after this.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. I got a quick question for Mr. Ray, if he would step up to the microphone. Tom?
Yes?
And this came to us, research Kathy's hard at work. She's given me a bunch of interesting stories every week. And the one, it's a ponderous question. If you were having a dinner party at the Ray household, would you let somebody charge their electric vehicle at your house?
Well, seeing as I don't have a charger for an electric vehicle at my house, probably no.
So,
but I do have a dryer plug in the garage, so if they could plug into that, why not?
Well, and then it brings up the point of, if you don't have a charger in your house, how will people, if they need to recharge to get home, how many times do you go visit somebody? It's usually a couple of hours away. It's a, you know, it's an evening out. It's a weekend evening out maybe, or a weekend day afternoon trip out. And you'd have to stop at the gas station to get, I'll get gas on the way home, dear. Well, I can't, if Tom doesn't have a charger, how do I have my friends over? It's a...
Well, the gas station at the corner of the street doesn't have any chargers right now. I've never seen one up there. I suppose they could go, there's a place a couple of miles from here, and I'd be happy to go pick them up, but do you really want to leave your car there for the duration of the evening?
Right. So they're talking about the etiquette of letting someone charge a vehicle at your house. Just a preponderance of thought. Let's go to Bill in Florida, who actually wants to talk about electrics. Let's see what's on Bill's mind. Bill, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
Hey, Ron. Yeah, listen, I think you've overlooked the presence of hybrid cars that with plug-in. I've owned three Volts over the past 7 years, Chevrolet Volts, and I now have a Cadillac CV6 2016.
Okay.
And I think they work beautifully. I have an internal combustion generator, which generates my batteries, and I can plug it in overnight. And it only takes 8 amps, so it doesn't use any more electric than a small bathroom heater would. I've driven back and forth between Boston and Florida. Never have to worry about range anxiety because I can simply get the gas tank filled. But normally when I'm just driving around the villages here in Florida, I won't have to go to the gas station once every couple months.
No, I understand
that. I drive strictly on my battery.
You know what, Bill? I haven't overlooked hybrids. It's just that they don't seem to come up. I think hybrid is the future. I'll state it here again, and I've said it before. I think hybrid is the future. I think hybrid is a good thought. I think hybrid is a good balance of the two. But for some reason, we're plunging headlong into this electric without a lot of questions getting answered. You know, I don't know where you are in Florida. I've told this story before on air. We were at Marcos Island last summer. As I was driving around Marcos Island, I couldn't help but think, where will all the electricity come from? There's rural parts of Florida that we visited that I said, where will they get all the electricity from? They're going to run cables across the natural beauty of Florida, the interior, the wetlands, the places where the crocodiles and the alligators.
Well, that's not a short-term problem. That's a long-term problem.
Well, yeah.
If they would simply, because I plug my car in on a 110 volt, and as I say, I can't even tell any difference on my electric bill.
Right.
And so if you had your own car and plugged it in overnight at home, that's the only, but you're right. Evidently, there's some reason why they don't make these. They may be too expensive to make, or maybe the mechanics don't know how to repair an internal combustion generator. Is it that much difference than a regular internal combustion engine?
Listen, I think that when somebody is trained properly and educated properly, anybody can fix anything. So I don't think there's that much difference. I think, and again, I come back to my original statement. I think we're rushing headlong into something that hasn't been fully researched and thought out. And, you know, to your point about it's a long-term problem, I don't know. You know, Bill, they're talking in 7 years and the clock keeps ticking. No more internal combustion engines from a lot of manufacturers. And as we've talked about repeatedly here and as the listeners have brought up, you know, where will the electricity come from? And all the reasons why it just doesn't seem like it's very practical. But you know what? It's okay, because one thing I guarantee you, as time evolves on, everything will just sort of come to straighten itself out on its own. You know, it's we're going to be forced into a new reality.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. 3 or 4 years down the road, I believe there will be an eye-opening, and we will go more toward hybrid engines.
Yep.
With internal combustion engines.
Yep.
Until we're ready to go to a full battery engine.
Right.
But I can't understand how you can use full battery cars at this point in time. I would never have one.
I stand by my original statement again, you know, because, you know, listen, I'm the guy with the microphone, and I have to be consistent. I can't be emotional. I have to practice my Qi Kong and, and keep myself centered. I don't understand why the edict hasn't been handed down. Amazon, UPS, FedEx, all the major delivery systems, the Postal Service, why they're not all electric. It seems to me like the perfect choice. They're all route vehicles. We know where they're going to be, when they're going to be there, how long they're going to be there. And when they come back to the factory or the delivery center or whatever it is at night, when they come back to the hub, they plug in.
I think what we need is we need a transition plan.
Yep.
And evidently the government and the powers that be aren't coming out with a plan. They want to go headlong into something.
Right. Right. And the answer I get is, well, I can tell you the answer, because the answer I get, which I don't like to use the word stupid, but I will, it's a stupid answer, because technology is going to solve this for us. Well, great. You know, it will. I just hope it happens in my lifetime, and I'm no spring chicken, but I'm no old timer yet either. So, someone said to me, "But Ron, you know, we're gonna have transportation and warp drive. Yeah, in about 500 years, where will this all originate from? Ah, you know what, Bill? It's senseless to go on. But yeah, I agree with you, sir. I think hybrid's a good alternative.
Right.
I think that there's a lot of things not being explored. And, you know, my short time on this planet, my short 6.5 decades, I've learned that usually when things are so far one way or another, they usually come back to center, and that's what I'm expecting. So.
Thanks, Ron. Enjoyed the conversation.
You're welcome, sir. You be well. You take good care. So would you let someone charge an electric vehicle at your house? As summer travel ramps up, the article talks about, you might find yourself in a situation with an electric vehicle. If you don't have one, perhaps your guest does. And the article goes on to talk about the costs. Well, it turns out that to charge an electric vehicle, and I should tell this to Tom because Tom's a little cheap, but don't tell him I said that, that it'll cost $7 to charge the average electric vehicle that comes to your house while your guest is visiting.
Okay, so when you add markup to that, you charge them 14 or 20 to 21 bucks.
Well, right.
You're done.
So, but Tom, what if you're having, you know, how many people when you at Christmas, how many people, you know, how many cars are in the driveway? 7, 8, 10?
Around here, in addition to ours too, because it's only my son and daughter.
Okay. But you know, I've got a bigger family, or had a bigger family at one point, and you know, I'd have 7 cars in the driveway, 8 cars in the driveway. It's going to cost me $60 to invite everybody over for Christmas dinner?
That depends on how much fuel you have for the generator. Because you probably need a generator rather than plug it into the house.
Well, and that brings the point up of, you know, will I be able to charge an additional 7 cars all at once? Right? So
exactly. Yeah, it's like, good Lord.
Don't you guys worry. They're going to figure this out.
Hey, don't worry about it. By Christmas, we'll have the new electric service installed.
Yeah, the 4,000 amp service so we can charge everybody's electric vehicle. So 855-560-9900. Good God, what have we gotten ourselves into? I'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
After 6 hours of school, I had enough for the day. I hit the radio dial and tuned it up all the way. I got a dance.
Welcome back. Ron and the Car Doctor here at 855-560-9900. The Car Doctor's 24-7 phone number. You can call that number, 855-560-9900, anytime, day or night. Leave a message. Executive producer Tom Ray will call you back and get you in queue for the next live broadcast if you're not able to listen to us during live show hours, Saturdays, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. Let's get over to Bill in Wisconsin. An uh-oh call. What happened here, Bill?
Actually, my name's John.
Oh, there you go. Tom's lying to me. So, anyway, go ahead, John. Is this the call about, are you in Wisconsin? Let me make sure I got the right call on the screen.
Yeah, it's about my transmission.
Okay, go ahead. Tell me the story.
Well, I have a 2016 Buick Enclave. It was due for a fluid change. I had heard for a long time from different people that flushing the transmission is actually not a good idea, and I should just have the fluid change, the filter, gasket, whatever. My mechanic disagreed. He talked me into getting it flushed. When I got my car back, it was shifting hard into second gear, sometimes harder than others, and I couldn't really decipher if it was more so when I accelerated slowly or more aggressively. Took it back. They looked at it. Just got it back a couple days ago, and I haven't noticed it doing it anymore. And what they told me was they had to relearn the transmission to the shifting, and I don't know what that means.
Okay, let's back up a second. How many miles are on this car? About
70,000.
All right. So 70,000 doing a fluid service seems like a reasonable time. Everybody, and you know, I'm not so sure they did a flush. They probably did an exchange. Depends on what trans is in there, if it even has a pan, if it even has a filter that's replaceable. Sometimes it's a drain and fill on a lot of the newer GM stuff. But regardless, you know, if, and I'll say it like this, if the trans fluid was brown and beat at 70,000 so bad that it was a question of whether or not the trans would survive, in my opinion, the trans had a problem and was done anyway. All right, just telling it like it is. The older you get, the less filters you have. So having said that, okay, I think what they probably did was a fluid exchange. In my mind, flushing denotes pressure. You know, I don't like doing pressure anything. I don't like doing a coolant. We call it a coolant flush, but it's really an exchange. It's just a one-for-one. When we do the machine at the shop, we use a Mahle coolant exchanger. It'll put a quart of coolant in, take a quart of coolant out, quart of coolant in, and so forth. It's just a nice, even exchange, you know, under minimal pressure, nothing more than what the system would normally see. Same thing with the transmission machines. They should be doing the same thing as an exchange. The old flushers, there was a series or a time when the industry went through a trans flush mentality and it was under pressure and we were going to blast all the contaminant out and yada, yada, yada. The issue was that flushing tended to move heavily varnished transmissions. If there was fluid varnished on the walls of the inside of the case, varnish it formed into a shellac-like substance. That becomes particulate, little gritty. You know, the fluid doesn't feel clean. You could strain it through a paint strainer and you'd see particulate in there at some level. All those little grainy particulates go somewhere in a transmission and they will clog hydraulic passages and create problems. So we kind of went into the conversation of now we're doing a fluid exchange. I like fluid exchanges. Gets all the old out, gets all the fresh in. So I think what your mechanic did was correct. Because understand, if doing a fluid exchange, in my mind, the way I think, if doing a fluid exchange caused the trans to have a problem, you were going to have a problem anyway. All right? And it's better to find out now. If you're interested in keeping the car long term, let's find out now. If you're going to sell the car in 2 weeks, now is not the time to do a trans exchange. You with me?
Absolutely.
Okay. So they did a fluid service. Sometimes, and the only thing I could question here is why didn't somebody notice this when they road tested it? But maybe they didn't road test it enough. Maybe it acted up after the fact. You know, I've had cases in my own mechanical life where, you know, 2 days later something crops up, or 12 hours later, or the day after the car leaves, something crops up and it creates an issue. So what they had to do was they had to relearn the transmission's adaptive shift points. All right? When you learn to walk as a child, right? Left foot, right foot. You learn that. It's a learned process. And then as time went on, you graduated from toddling to walking to running, right? Well, as a transmission operates, it has the ability to pick up characteristics and adaptives and the shift points. And it learns how that particular trans wants to run the second to third gear shift and the third to fourth gear shift and so on. What they did was they relearned those operational characteristics. That's all they did. And as long as it's shifting okay now, you're fine. And I commend them because they actually went about it the right way. They did the right thing. They did what they were supposed to do. And they got it done. So as long as it's operating okay, you're good. And it sounds like you've got a good repair shop and a good relationship with them. All right? Take good care, John. And we'll talk to you on the next time around. 855-560-9900. The Car Doctor's coming back right after this. Don't go away.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Every shop has those moments. Ron and Andy, the Car Doctor, by the way, welcome back. Every shop has those moments of the ever since, and it happens. It's real world. It's and there's usually a mechanical reason. There's usually a good answer for it. It's not just PM. It's not just pure magic. We had a 2015 Subaru this past week, and this car is a classic example of it. It came in for an oil change. It actually came in for an oil change the week before. And one of the complaints beside the oil change was that the wipers had a squealing noise every time you turned them on. I looked at it. The wiper transmission was frozen solid, good quality Subaru metal. And, you know, it happens. The car gets older. It's just stuff that goes wrong. And we couldn't get a wiper transmission until this week. So we, you know, put it on the side. It came in. I did a wiper transmission. Did a wiper transmission, factory parts, simple unplug one connector, plug one connector in, assemble it, cowl clips, wiper blades. We're done. Phone rings the next day. Ron, the wipers are absolutely perfect. They're stone quiet. But the radio doesn't work from the dash display. You can work it from the steering wheel knobs. It doesn't work from the radio head itself. Bring it down. Now, on Subarus, if it's a smart radio, as I call it, with the interactive touchscreen, it will sometimes lock up where you have to actually hold the volume, the tuner, and the CD buttons all at the same time to put it into a factory reset. This car didn't have that. This car had the model down or the level down radio. So I said, what the heck, I'll try it. I held the volume and the tuner buttons down for 30 seconds, let go. All of a sudden, the radio lit up and it started to work. So I don't know if I've discovered something. I got my hands on another Subaru to find out, but everything changes. There are some ever since's. You just got to figure them out. Till the next time, I'm Ron Anini and the Car Doctor. Good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.